Hey, everyone, and welcome to what we are affectionately calling the Packaging Power Hour. I'm Alec, and I'm super excited to jump into this with you.
And I'm Eden. It's great to be here. You know, we're talking about something today that you probably see every single day, maybe even multiple times a day, but might not give much thought to.
Exactly. We're peeling back the layers, pun absolutely intended, on the surprisingly complex world of food packaging. Get ready for the ultimate showdown. Aluminum versus plastic. Who will reign supreme?
It's going to be a wild ride, folks. We're going to dive deep and uncover some fascinating truths about what holds our food. Stick around.
So, Eden, before we get into the nitty-gritty of which material is better, we should probably talk about why this even matters in the first place, right? I mean, it's just a container?
Oh, Alec, just a container. That's where you're wrong, my friend. Choosing the right packaging material for food businesses is like a massive deal. It affects so many things.
Tell me more. Lay it on me.
Well, for starters, there's product safety. You can't just put anything in any old container. Packaging has to protect the food, obviously, keeping it safe from contaminants and spoilage. It's not just about looking good on the shelf.
That's true. Nobody wants a leaky yogurt or a suspiciously airy bag of chips.
Exactly. And then there's consumer perception. How a product is packaged really influences how consumers see the brand. Is it premium? Is it eco-friendly? Does it seem reliable? People totally judge a book by its cover, or in this case, their snacks by their wrapper.
Oh, absolutely. I'm guilty of that. And you mentioned eco-friendly, so I'm guessing sustainability goals are a huge part of this puzzle too.
You got it. For businesses, their sustainability goals are a massive driver. Are they aiming for a lower carbon footprint, better recyclability? All of these big, weighty environmental decisions are tied directly to the packaging material they choose. It's not just about the product inside anymore. It's the whole package, literally.
All right, so we've established why it matters. But before a can becomes a can or a bottle becomes a bottle, these materials have to, well, start somewhere, right? And their origin stories, oh, they're juicy.
Oh, absolutely. It's the awkward family photo album of the material world. For aluminum, we're talking about bauxite, which is literally dug out of the earth through mining. It's a big operation, leaving visible scars on the landscape. And don't even get me started on the waste streams.
Yeah, I imagine a big open pit just yelling, "Hey, I was here first."
Exactly. And plastic, on the other hand, starts its life as fossil fuels. So we're talking oil rigs, drilling, refining operations. So both materials are essentially telling Mother Nature, "Excuse me, we need to borrow a little bit of your living room here." They just pick different spots to make a mess.
So one is an obvious visible mess, and the other is a bit more behind the scenes, but still a mess. A sneaky mess, you could say.
Pretty much. Oil and gas refining might happen a bit more out of sight, but trust me, it doesn't escape environmental impact assessments. So really, neither aluminum nor plastic rolls off the production line with pristine green credentials. They've both got these complicated backstories. They've both got skeletons in their raw material closet.
So they've got these interesting backstories, right? But then comes the actual making of the stuff. And that's where things get really intense, especially for one of them.
Oh, you're not wrong. Aluminum's production process? Wow. We're talking about taking bauxite, heating it to absurd temperatures, sometimes over 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, just to get it to alumina. Then it's electrolysis to turn that into actual aluminum. It's an energy monster, plain and simple.
An absolute energy guzzler. And because of all that energy demand, the greenhouse gas emissions during aluminum production are just staggering. The article says they can be 450% higher compared to plastic. That's not a small number.
No, that's a huge difference right there at the manufacturing stage. Plastic, on the other hand, its initial production is less energy intensive, but And this is a big but. It's still relying on all that fossil fuel extraction and refining we just chatted about.
Right. So while the factory itself might be a bit more efficient energy-wise, its origins are still tied to oil rigs and drilling. So you can't just look at one part of the journey and say, aha, this one's perfectly clean.
Precisely. Both materials have significant environmental footprints just at different points in their whole life cycle. It's never as straightforward as you'd hope. You think you've found the good guy and then boom, another complication.
Okay, so we've talked about the messy beginnings, right? But now let's talk about where aluminum really shines. Recycling. This stuff is truly amazing when it comes to being repurposed.
Oh, it's incredible, Alec. The article talks about infinite recyclability without quality degradation. Imagine this, 75% of all aluminum ever produced is still out there being used today. That's wild. Your grandparents' soda can could literally be part of your soda can right now. How cool is that?
That is a total mind bender, isn't it? It just keeps going and going. And the energy savings, recycled aluminum saves about 95% of the energy compared to making new aluminum. That's a massive win for the environment, for sure. I mean, 95%. That's almost all of it.
It is. That's huge. But, you know, there's always a little catch, right? It's not all perfect. The article points out that high-end alloys for things like aerospace or automotive parts can't always be made from recycled beverage cans. So we still need some virgin materials for those specific applications. Darn it.
Always a little hiccup, but still, 95% savings is pretty darn good, I'd say. Now, let's shift gears to plastic. Because its recycling story is a bit more of a mixed bag, to say the least. It's not quite the infinite loop hero.
Oh, it's definitely not as straightforward. Plastics recyclability really depends heavily on the type of plastic. And honestly, if there's even the recycling infrastructure in place to handle it where you live. PET bottles, sure, they often do well in certain regions, but so many other plastic packages, they just don't have an easy path to being recycled. It's a real struggle.
Yeah, it's a real uphill battle for a lot of it. And while there are new recycling technologies popping up, which is great, they're not fully implemented yet across the board. So it's not this grand, universally recyclable material that some people might think. It's complicated.
Which then brings us to the economics of it, doesn't it? Because what ultimately gets collected and recycled often comes down to money. And here, aluminum is the clear winner, hands down.
Absolutely. Aluminum is more widely accepted in municipal programs. It's super easy to sort at those big material recovery facilities, the MRFs. And here's the kicker. Recovered and recycled aluminum is actually worth more money than either plastic or even glass.
Cha-ching! That's why they want it. It's profitable to collect and process. Plastic, not so much in comparison. So if you're a recycling facility, you're naturally going to prioritize the stuff that brings in the cash. It really puts things into perspective, doesn't it? The value dictates the fate.
So we've talked about the whole life cycle, right? Down to the money behind recycling. But what about the stuff inside the packaging? Food safety is paramount, especially when we're talking about, you know, what goes into our body.
Absolutely. You don't want your tuna tasting like can, literally. So with aluminum, the article explains that untreated aluminum can actually corrode when it's exposed to certain conditions. Gross, right? That's why they have to put these protective barriers, usually these polymer epoxy coatings, on the inside.
Ah, the secret liner. So it's not just pure metal touching your food. It's got a little jacket on. That makes sense because you hear about things reacting with metal and you think, okay, that's probably not great for my lunch. And those coatings, they also have to meet their own safety standards. It's layers of safety.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tiny, specialized hazmat suit for your food. And plastic? It has its own set of strict tests and food contact rules it has to follow, too. It's not just a free-for-all for either material. Both have to prove they're safe.
Good to know. Safety first, always. But then there's the other big factor, which is usually where decisions are made for businesses, cost. And this is where plastic really starts to flex its muscles.
Oh, absolutely. If you've ever seen those aluminum water bottles that pop up at airports, they're usually not cheap.
aluminum typically costs significantly more than equivalent plastic packaging options. It's why those aluminum bottles are always the premium item.
Totally. It's the fancy upscale option. Whereas plastic is just everywhere. It's incredibly cost efficient. We're talking about, get this, around 500 billion plastic bottles made each year worldwide. That's a mind-boggling number. That just shows you how cheap it is to produce on the massive scale.
500 billion? Wow. That is a lot of soda and water. And it's not just the material cost, Alec. It's also the transportation. Think about how light plastic is compared to aluminum.
Oh, that's a huge point. Plastic's lightweight properties translate directly into lower shipping costs and, of course, reduced transportation emissions. If you're a business sending out millions of packaged products, those weight differences add up dramatically in your logistics costs.
Right? It makes a massive difference to the bottom line. So while aluminum has its infinite recycling superpower, plastic has the cost superpower. It's cheaper to make and cheaper to ship. It's a real trade-off, isn't it? One is good for the wallet, and the other is great for the planet. Mostly.
Okay, so we've covered safety and cost, but what about how the packaging actually functions and looks? Because, you know, a package has to sell the product too.
Absolutely. And this is where plastic really shines, literally. When you're in the grocery store, you want to see what you're buying, right? Consumers often prefer clear plastic packages over opaque aluminum, especially for food display.
No mystery meat salad for me, thank you. And plastic is super versatile. It can be rigid containers, flexible pouches, any shape. Though that flexibility can sometimes mean less structural strength compared to metal.
That's true. But here's a practical win for plastic. Resealability. You open a can of tuna, and unless you have a separate plastic lid, you're committed. Food and plastic can often be sealed back up.
The tuna can dilemma. So real. So plastic wins on transparency and reclosing. But what about aluminum for freshness? Does it have any barrier superpowers?
Oh, big time. Aluminum is amazing for protection against light, oxygen, and moisture. It's crucial for keeping sensitive products fresh longer. Think soda cans. It's a total vault.
Right. A light-proof, airtight vault. That's perfect for things needing long shelf life. Plastic can provide good barriers, but often needs extra layers or special formulations to match what aluminum does naturally. It's not always a simple choice.
So after all that, it really sounds like there's no magic bullet, no single best packaging solution for everything, right? It's not one size fits all.
Totally. You can't put your gourmet ice cream in the same container as your bargain potato chips, can you? The article really drives home that there's no perfect package. It's about making smart choices for your specific situation.
Exactly. Businesses have to weigh so many things. What does their product actually need? Does it need to be protected from light? Or does it need a super long shelf life? That's point number one.
And then there are their sustainability goals. Are they trying to reduce their carbon footprint? Is recyclability their top priority? Or maybe they're focused on renewable content. It really depends on what's important to that company.
And of course, the ever-present cost structure. How does the material cost affect their pricing and profit margins? Because ultimately, they're running a business.
And what do consumers expect? Do they want to see the product? Do they care about the environmental impact of the packaging? Their perception can really influence buying decisions. It's a lot to juggle, honestly.
It really is. You have to be a packaging pro to balance product needs, cost, sustainability, and what your customers want. It's a complex recipe for success.
Wow, what a journey through the world of packaging. So to wrap it all up, it's really clear that both aluminum and plastic have their super strengths and, well, their Achilles heels too.
Absolutely. Aluminum shines with its infinite recyclability and amazing barrier protection, which is fantastic. But then you remember how much energy it takes to make the stuff and that it costs more. It's a trade-off.
Right. And plastic, bless its lightweight heart, wins on design flexibility and cost efficiency. Plus, you can actually see what you're buying. But its recycling story is definitely a bit more complicated, depending on the type and where you are.
Exactly. So for all you listeners out there, the big takeaway is there's no single best packaging material. It's truly about finding the perfect fit for the product, the business's goals, their budget, and what we as consumers are looking for.
Totally. It's a lot more strategic than just grabbing the first thing off the shelf, isn't it? Hopefully this helps everyone think a bit more critically about the packaging around them next time they're at the store.
For sure. It's been a blast diving deep into this with you, Alec.
You too, Eden, and to all our amazing listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We really appreciate you tuning in.
Thanks, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.